Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 30 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. Earlier this week, I took a nap. This is very unusual for me. I tend to power through the day no matter how I'm feeling, but earlier this week, I took a nap. I had a cold at the weekend, maybe you can still hear it a little bit, and I didn't have very much time to rest. So when the opportunity came up on Monday to have a little lie down, I took it. I had an hour in bed, little disco nap. But when I went to sleep, when I decided to go to sleep, I had something on my mind. A couple of projects that I'd wanted to work on had fallen through, and I wasn't sure how to respond. I wanted to be in the right frame of mind before writing a reply, but I couldn't think of anything that sounded right. So I went to bed. And as with any nap, I woke a couple of times, but I didn't feel ready to get out of bed, so I drifted back into sleep. And eventually, after about an hour, I woke up and I was ready to get out of bed. And a phrase that I could use in one of the emails I had to write had come to me as I drifted in and out of consciousness. And so I went straight to my laptop and began to compose my reply. And this really got me thinking about the benefits of sleep, the benefits of napping, the benefits of taking breaks and of reflecting. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. So let's start with napping. All the research that I found says that napping is good for you. The Sleep Foundation and others say that it rejuvenates you, it improves cognitive performance, and that sleeping is very good for problem solving, which was my experience on Monday. So REM sleep, REM sleep, helps achieve solutions because it stimulates the associative networks in the brain. So it allows the brain to make new and useful connections between unrelated ideas. This happens when you're in quite a deep REM sleep. Getting into too deep a sleep, though, if you're just having a nap, can make you feel groggy. So a lot of the research is about how a shorter nap, 20 to 30 minutes, can benefit you, benefit the brain. So research also shows that a nap can promote physical well-being, it can improve your mood and your memory, and it can energize you and sharpen the senses. So a short nap can improve intellectual performance and accuracy at work too. It also means that nappers, people that take a nap in the middle of the day, continue to have better brain activity throughout the day so that they maintain that benefit, not just for a short time after the nap, but throughout the day. Trying to break this habit of sitting down and powering through the day and being so tired could really be beneficial to us in our work. But not only that, I had been noticing that by the time Ivy came home at the end of the day, I was pretty exhausted. I mean, I just wanted to eat dinner, watch some TV and go to bed. And I also had this feeling that, you know, I just get through the week and get to the weekend, which obviously for someone in my role isn't brilliant. What I've noticed since I've been starting to take breaks, something I'll talk about in a moment, is that when she gets home, I actually have the energy to do something. So I've been thinking about breaks as well as napping, because the napping thing is pretty unusual for me. But I have really been trying to take more breaks, and particularly sparked a couple of weeks ago by a friend who told me, oh, well, we can't work more than 4 hours a day anyway. So I did a bit of research into this. So one piece of research found that the 10% of employees with the highest productivity didn't put in longer hours than anyone else. In fact, they didn't actually work a full 8 hours. What they did do was take regular breaks. So specifically, they took a 17-minute break for every 52 minutes of work. In fact, of course, we never really work a full 8 or 10 or 12-hour day because certainly in the office, we're interrupted all the time. In fact, according to David Rock, the author of a book called Your Brain at Work, the average office worker is interrupted every 3 minutes, and it takes about 23 minutes to fully return to a task after an interruption. So if you imagine you're interrupted every 3 minutes, there simply is no time to get back into the task before you're interrupted again. But actually, this might be a good thing. So although it may take time to get back into the work, the interruption itself might actually be good. Our brains aren't wired to concentrate intensely for 8 hours at a go. In fact, our minds work on a cycle of activity and downtime, which is what keeps us alert. So if we could harness those cycles, we could improve our productivity. There are some real health benefits, or in fact some health risks, of working long hours. So one piece of research suggests that long hours are a major cause of mental ill health and risk of stroke and heart disease. So the actual physical impact on our bodies could be really significant. But what would happen if we just worked less? Might there be some benefits just beyond the very measurable health benefits? Well, one article I read made quite a few arguments in favour of shorter hours. So for instance, less time at work would mean more time with your friends and your family, and to care for those people, or to just spend time with them and be social, or to do other things in the community, like do voluntary work or look after elderly neighbours, or get involved with a local sports team. So there'd be more time to create community, and of course that may help you in your work. A shorter working week might also mean a fairer distribution of available work. Something that I've been talking about a lot is that bots want your job. And there is a real risk, that there's certainly a theory, that there simply won't be enough work for human beings, and that this could be a major problem. Of course, if we measure our work and our value by how many hours we do, then some people are going to have work and they're going to do 10, 12 hours a day, whilst an increasing proportion of people aren't going to have work and they're going to be sitting around doing nothing. Actually, if we were able to more fairly distribute the work available by reducing the number of hours that those currently in work do, without really any negative impact on productivity, then more people could actually work. It might help with gender equality too. About 85% of British men work more than 30 hours a week. Those that are in work more than 30 hours a week, but only 57% of British women who are in work more than 30 hours a week. If we're able to reduce the average number of hours that people do at work, then people, men included, will have more time to spend with their families. Shorter hours could even help the environment. According to some research from the United States Center for Economic and Policy Research, reduced greenhouse gas emissions could be related to shorter working hours for a variety of reasons. I mean, for one, people would be in the office less, and therefore they're burning less light and less electricity with their laptops and all of that kind of thing. And it has been shown that higher productivity actually correlates with lower working hours. So at Ford, people were found to be less productive when they worked more than 40 hours a week. Most people are familiar with the Swedish experiment to see what the impact would be of reducing working day to 6 hours. And this was an initiative begun a couple of years ago. And the research that I've done into that is actually quite negative. So it's been dropped, or it looks like it's going to be dropped, because it was found to be too expensive. Basically, if people are only going to work a 6-hour shift instead of an 8-hour shift, you have to employ more people. Certainly in something like nursing or elderly care, where it isn't just about productivity, it is about presence, being there, literally being there. But of course, if the experiment is applied to people who can be productive without necessarily having to be physically there, then the experiment might work out differently. If you can actually achieve as much in 6 hours as 8, and you're not required to be there because you're not literally caring for somebody, then the results could be quite different. And I also question the long-term costs. So the short-term costs were extra staff. But it was found that the 6-hour day resulted in greater levels of health amongst the workers, less absence, and higher quality patient care. So long term, the costs of a 6-hour working day may have been radically reduced, but of course a lot of the costs are up front. So we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see how things roll out with that, and as we get more and more research. And the final piece, so I've talked about napping, I've talked about shorter working hours or taking breaks. The final piece I wanted to look at was the benefits of reflection, taking time to reflect, and what might those be. The research that I found showed that, firstly, taking time to reflect is part of genuine learning. So you don't fall into the same traps that you did this time, next time, if you take time to reflect, to think, to think through what happened and what you would do differently next time and what you've learned. It's kind of obvious. In addition, reflection is very good for creativity. So some research that I've known about for years is called the Yerkes-Dodson curve. And what this basically shows is that when you take a break from an activity at a point of peak performance, you are likely to get a eureka moment, an aha moment, and you're also likely to be able to maintain that peak performance for longer. So what happens is that levels of performance increase as levels of what they called arousal, but we could think of as tension or stress or adrenaline, as levels of arousal increase, performance increases too, up until a certain point, when that arousal becomes bad stress, basically, and then performance decreases. But if you take a break and do an unrelated activity at the peak of that performance, two things happen. The first is you get a great idea, this aha moment. And secondly, when you return to the work, you meet it at the level of peak performance that you left it. And of course, what tends to happen is that we work right through that level of peak performance, well into bad stress, and it's only then that we stop. And then, of course, it's very difficult to get back into that peak performance. You're starting from scratch. Reflection also gives us an opportunity to think about and then be able to articulate our learning so that we can pass it on. When we move very quickly from one activity to the next, it's very difficult for us to be able to talk about what we learned from a particular experience. We need to be able to take that break. And in taking that break and being able to articulate it more clearly, others can benefit from our experiences. When people talk about reflection, they often talk about reflecting on failure, reflecting on mistakes. Of course, you can reflect on success, and I think this is really important to do. We tend to skip right over successes. We tend to take them for granted, and we only remember the things that didn't go terribly well. But if you take time to reflect on success, you're able to really embed them in the brain. You're able to construct a story around those successes that means you won't forget. What I think is really important is that you use this reflection time to think about the thinking behind certain outcomes rather than the actions that you took. So I really understand why people don't make time to reflect on successes or on failures or just on anything that's happened during the day, because they know that that succession of events is unlikely to happen again. The same situation exactly is unlikely to happen again. And if it did happen again, they would know exactly how to deal with it because they've already been through it once. But the thinking that led to the behaviour, that led to the actions, to the decisions, is likely to inhibit you or give you an advantage again. So it's the thinking behind that really requires some reflection time, not the actions. If you stop and consider what was the thinking that led to my behaviours, my actions, or as a group, what is the thinking that exists here that led us to these behaviours or these actions, then you can apply that learning in future. And that makes what you're doing really, really powerful. Now, of course, there are negatives to stopping and reflecting, to working shorter hours, to napping. One of the major disadvantages is perception. people tend to see someone who works fewer hours or takes naps or goes off for a walk in the middle of the day as kind of lazy or not ambitious or not taking things seriously, even though we all know that the evidence points in the other direction. But if you're worried about perception, then that might be something you need to take into account before you do these activities. Not too much. I wouldn't just collude with the system, but you might have to think about how you set this up so that your reputation isn't damaged until such point as you can demonstrate that your performance has improved. Too much sleep, particularly in the middle of the day, can make you drowsy, of course. And it's important that you nap or take breaks or reflect for the right reasons, not simply to avoid difficult tasks. But the more I research this topic and try out different approaches for myself, the more I notice the benefits. When Ivy comes home, I can actually do things with her. I can have a conversation. Last night we played a fantastic game of Monopoly. We can go for a walk. Life has more in it. And I want to finish with a story from my very early days of coaching CEOs. I was coaching a boss, a senior guy, he was the founder of his business, and one of the questions he asked in one of our sessions was, why did his employees always stay so late in the office? And I asked him how late he stayed, and he stayed very late, but he felt it was his responsibility to be the last out of the door. After all, it was his business, and he wanted to show his people that they could rely on him to take the business seriously. So he was the first in the morning and he was the last out at night. And it occurred to us both that maybe they wouldn't leave until he did. That he was clearly setting the expectation, and that even though his motivation was, I want you guys to come in after me, I expect you to leave before me, his own behaviours were generating this behaviour amongst other people, which was, we're not leaving until he does. We want to be here when he arrives in the morning. We want to be here when he leaves in the evening. So the point of this story is to start with the self. I've heard plenty of managers, plenty of leaders, plenty of CEOs say, I want my people to take breaks. I don't want to kill them with overwork. I want them to be healthy. I want them to have a work-life balance. And yet they sacrifice their own. You have to go first. That's leadership. So I hope today's thoughts, musings on taking breaks, taking naps, and reflecting has been useful for you. I'd love to know how you get on as you start to apply these ideas. Please do stay in touch. And with information about how you can do that, of course, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We now have a Facebook page where you can get information about the podcast, links to other articles and experts, and connect with like-minded people. Just search Punks and Suits and like our page. Of course, you can also follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or email her blair@thatpeoplething.com. But most importantly, we want people to be able to find out about the podcast, and you can help with that. Please share the iTunes link on social media. Leadership is changing fast, and with your help, more people will discover how to make a difference and create organizations that are a force for good in the world.